Big tech knows a lot about you, in some cases more than you know about yourself. They certainly know where you go and what you eat. They may even know what you think. The only thing it can't control is what your thoughts are, but they're working on that too. In a 2018 phone recording obtained exclusively by this show, Adam Kovacevic, he's Google's head of U.S. public policy, explains to Google employees why the company was a sponsor for CPAC that year. Google sponsored CPAC, he says, because it wouldn't let them push the party toward a more open borders agenda. Listen.
The Republican Party, and I think conservatism generally, is also going through a lot of internal debates about what it should be, right? What should be the sort of position of the party? And I think that's one that we should be involved in because we, I think, want probably, the majority of Googlers would want to steer conservatives and Republicans more towards a message of liberty and freedom and away from the more sort of nationalistic incendiary comments, nativist comments and things like that.
Now, as noted, Google has more power than any company has ever had. It has the power of its massive data reserves technology. Of course, it has financial power. It's one of the highest market cap companies in history. It also increasingly has political power, though they don't typically admit it in public. Kovacevic did admit it. He said that companies like Google are playing, quote, a leadership role in American politics. He bragged that the company got a supporter of mass immigration onto a CPAC panel, and that person argued in support of Google's agenda. It shows a lot about big tech's attitude toward the country. They're in control. Elections, parties, democracy, just a hindrance to their control. So we told you a lot on this show about the potential dangers of big tech. Some of those dangers are imminent and they're technological. And the main one is robotics and artificial intelligence. Remarkably, the person, the political figure who is making the most sense on this subject, who has thought about it most deeply, is a Democrat who is running for president. He's Andrew Yang. He's an entrepreneur. And as we said, he's a Democratic presidential candidate. He says that artificial intelligence and expanded automation could potentially cause violence in this country and that we need to do something about it right now. Andrew Yang joins us tonight. Andrew, thanks very much for coming on. And I meant that with sincerity. I haven't heard anybody in our political conversation describe the threat as clearly and compellingly as you have. Why should we be worried about automation?
Well, if you look at the backdrop, we automated away 4 million manufacturing jobs in Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Missouri, and those communities have never recovered. Where if you look at the numbers, half of the workers left the workforce and never worked again, and then half of that group filed for disability. Now, what happened to the manufacturing workers is now going to happen to the truck drivers, retail workers, call centers, fast food workers, and on through the economy as we evolve and technology marginalizes the labor of more and more Americans.
What will be the effects of that? I mean, that's a massive displacement of people. What will happen once that happens?
Well, as you said, I think it's going to be disastrous. Where if you look at truck drivers alone, being a trucker is the most common job in 29 states. There are 3.5 million truck drivers in this country. And my friends in Silicon Valley are working on trucks that can drive themselves because that's where the money is, where we can save tens, even hundreds of billions of dollars by trying to automate that job. But I was just with truck drivers in Iowa last week and imagining that community recovering from their income going from, let's call it $50,000 a year to much, much less than that catastrophically, it's going to be a disaster for many, many American communities.
You're one of the only people I've ever met who's honest about the effects of deindustrialization. I remember in Washington, the idea was they'll all become computer programmers, and so everything is fine, but that didn't happen. My question is, do we have to sit passively back and let this happen to the country?
Well, that's why I'm running for president, Tucker, is I think it would be insane to just sit back and watch this automation wave overtake our communities and our economy. So we're not ostriches. We can get our heads up out of the sand and say, look, we get it. Artificial intelligence is real. Self-driving cars and trucks are being tested on the highways right now. And we need to evolve. We need to actually start pushing the way we think of economic progress to include how our families are doing, how our children are doing, and things that would actually matter to the American people. Because GDP is going to lead us off a cliff. You know, robot trucks, great for GDP, terrible for many, many American communities. So we need to get with the program and figure out how to actually make this economy work for people.
I sit with my jaw open. I agree with you so strongly. Let me ask you finally, why isn't this a central question in the campaign of everybody running for president on any side? And why instead are they talking about issues that really are kind of frivolous? Why aren't they talking about this?
You know, it's a good question, Tucker. I mean, one of the reasons I'm running for president is to push this into the center of the mainstream agenda, where every candidate should be talking about what we're going to do about the fact that we're automating away the most common jobs in the economy right now. As we're sitting here together, the labor force participation rate in the United States is 63.2%, the same level as Ecuador and Costa Rica. And if anyone thinks that's where America ought to be, I mean, that number is even going to be further challenged when all this technology comes online. So we have to make America embrace this challenge of the 21st century and then try and address it together as a people.
Last question. Shouldn't people who cite unemployment statistics be penalized for saying something so stupid?
Yeah, we have a series of bad numbers, and I referred to GDP as one. Certainly, the headline unemployment rate is completely misleading.
Yes.
And one of my mandates as president is I'm going to update the numbers so they actually make sense to the American people.
Yes, because, so we can know what's going on. Otherwise, you can't make wise decisions.
Yeah, right now, again, and you know this, our life expectancy has declined for the last 3 years, first time in 100 years, because of a surge in suicides and drug overdoses. How can you say an economy is healthy when our people are dying? It makes no sense.
I literally couldn't. I don't even know what you think on the other issues, and I just support what you said so much. I appreciate your coming on. Thank you.
Thank you, Tucker. It's great to be here.
Thank you.